I just got off the phone with the guy I've known for since elementary school. He's actually running a family office now.
Oh, cool.
So pretty, yeah. I was talking to him about his path. He actually started off in the Merrill training program with a philanthropic team, and he was actually a social worker working in foster care placement and stuff for kids age, older kids. And then he ended up going and getting his MBA, and he went to work at Merrill and was working on the philanthropic team. He got a CFA, and then he went to Bessemer and became a trust advisor with Bessemer. And then he went out to LA with them and connected with these young people, and they went through a couple of liquidity events, and eventually they had a couple $100 million, and they were talking, and they're like, yeah, we're thinking about doing this, that, and another. And he's like, let's do it. And they started a family office. So now he's kind of doing a lot of venture investing and political activism, and they have some equity stuff. Unfortunately, most of it's passive, unfortunately for us. But just kind of interesting to see that evolution, how it's worked for him, and how happy he is that he's living his best life,
That is
not working under the compliance of Merrill.
right. Anyway, yeah, that's things have changed. So, what's on your mind from our point of view tonight, this afternoon?
Lots.
Lots.
Yeah, I laid in bed thinking about everything that's on my mind until 4 a.m. this morning. So
no.
More of the same.
Plenty on my mind. Plenty. So I'll start since everyone's, so aggressive here. Did you see my email, Rob? I figured out I'm a pessimist. But I'm actually, believe it or not, a pessimist about myself, not others, which is a surprise to me. Yeah, I apparently believe I have too much control over my life, so I blame myself for everything that bad that happens. And I'm not one to blame it on circumstances. I take personal responsibility for failures. So if the market's bad, I'm not picking the right stocks instead of Trump tweeted something stupid, so I'm working on forgiving myself a little bit more on certain things. And
that's good.
Yeah,
that's great. Congratulations.
It's been interesting. We've gotten nowhere with our performance. Good.
What do you mean nowhere on our performance?
I mean, getting the performance the ability of the firm to let us do performance reporting. We've also determined that right now our 5-star model is Ryan and Tim do everything, and then Larry leads us on doing everything. So we have to revisit our 5-star model, I think, a little bit, to include all team members and make sure that we're all working on a particular star or something from what we're up to and trying to figure out our role. We took that Colby test. All of us took that, and it turned out that Larry was the best. Larry was the best at Larry was the best at like keeping up with people, which is why I guess he's a good fit for the leadership role to follow up with us on stuff. And Larry does do a good job following up with us on stuff. But I don't think we really have anyone that's currently keeping our brand promise, our brand management, and I don't think we really have anyone who's doing marketing. Tim's been working on the marketing materials, which we're grateful for because that's something we've been stuck on for a long time. But we're not doing a lot of active marketing, I don't think, in terms of, you know, we're going to try to start, you know, marketing a little bit more to other people, but we've had a few initiatives we've talked about doing and we just haven't got them off the ground in terms of some of the stuff with divorce or, you know, and Tim's doing a little more cold calling and marketing than the rest of the team is on his own. But we're not getting out and getting the growth that we need to get in order to drive this thing next level. We're just all kind of working more off of what we have.
So are you having your meetings?
Yes.
Some of us still, they're still more intermittently.
You're having your meetings. It would be very embarrassing to make no progress. What happens during the meetings?
Hey, I'm going to bring Barry on the phone with all of us. So 1 minute, he's coming on my line. Hey, Barry, you on?
Yeah, my computer's down. I can't get on.
We're talking about our 5-star model and how we need to revisit that and make sure that we're doing all the stars and that all of us have a role that we're doing and keeping up with it. So Rob just posed the question of what happens during our 5-star meetings if we're not doing them properly.
Probably a good question.
We tend to start off with issues that are about the practice, and then we kind of morph into more conversations about the market and about what to cover and what not to cover. I did make a comment to Tim and Ryan the other day last week that these Fridays calls should be, you know, directly about the practice. We need to talk more about the market. We can do that after our call, and we should limit our call to, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes so that they don't go on forever, that we're in, we're out. We talk about things that we need to, and then quite frankly, we can move on.
Yeah, the marketing meeting should be a subcommittee meeting of implementation. It shouldn't be a Friday. I mean, it shouldn't be a Friday thing. You know, the director of implementation at the Friday meeting would talk about the project that you're working on for that month or the next 2 months, the 24-month calendar. And how are we doing on it, and et cetera?
We have not been doing well. Nobody has the calendars at their house. Everything is at the office. So we have not been sticking to those calendars the way that we had been pre-COVID. I think we'd all agree with that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought about that we may want to do is Christine may be able to send us a copy of those calendars, just the 24-month calendar, so that we have it in front of us. We can't print it out, unfortunately, but at least we can have it.
Why can't you print it?
That's a no-no at the firm. We can't print anything at home.
We can print. We can't. They won't let us. We can't have our client folders. We're not allowed to have our client folders.
Print things that are relevant.
Anyway. Okay. So.
Yeah. We could print the calendar of topics out without a problem. But just in terms of, like, we can't have our actively working folders because that's having client information in our home. Let us print paperwork for clients to sign right now.
So, in terms of roles and responsibilities, so Who's the director of implementation?
Me.
Ryan, and you don't have him working on your topic?
I thought it was investment implementation. I'm running all the portfolios and leading all the investment initiatives. I wasn't doing it as implementation of, I thought that the calendar was going to fall more under brand, director of brand and team, whatever.
No, brand management is busy. I know you're busy with the investments, but that falls under implementation. It's the 24-month calendar, and it's training director. So you're the person that is supposed to train everybody up on what we're going to do for the next 2 months or the next month. And then you follow up every week and ask how they're doing. Or whatever it is you're talking about with your 12-4-2s.
Okay.
And Tim is planning, right? Or is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I previously held that role, but Tim's taking that.
Right. And that's, you know, in the weekly meeting, that would be how are we doing versus our annual, monthly, quarterly goals, right? So this week we were supposed to do 3 plans. Did we do them? Number of plans versus goal, right? And implementation, I mean, the updates. So plans and updates, how are we doing versus goal? So it's pretty straightforward and simple.
That's for the most part how we're handling it.
Right.
And it goes a little bit deeper just because we've got plans and draft and you know, clients without a plan. And so there are different elements to it, but yeah, that's the bare bones.
And in terms of the investment piece, it's assets, liabilities, and everything else. So you're not going to talk about that unless it's a major change that you're implementing in terms of investments. So that what you talk about in the weekly meeting is the 24-month calendar and what you're going to be doing next month, unless there's a big change in the investment strategy. Brand management has to do with operations and service, the rapid response team, and the 12-4-2. So who's in charge of that now? No one.
I mean, I suppose that would be me.
It doesn't have to be.
It's not you, Tim. It's not really anybody.
Who's your lead person for operations?
Christine.
So it's Christine. Who handles your 12-4-2 calendars?
Christine.
So she reports in on how you're doing versus 12-4-2 calendars and how your rapid response team is doing. Marketing. No one. Barry.
That has been more Tim overseeing that.
Tim's been doing marketing materials, but Tim's not doing. Tim and I have been working on trying to market the strategies, but that's one piece of what we should be doing.
Okay, so marketing, it seems to me that would be Barry. He's your lead marketing guy. He's the guy that's supposed to be out there marketing, and he's your outside guy, right? Barry?
No.
No.
Yeah. No. Yes and no. I mean, I think Larry's out there doing stuff like that.
I don't know if that's the best fit. Would that be the best fit, do you think, Barry, for you to be the outside marketing person for the team?
I don't know. Somebody's got to do it. I mean, I can try. I don't mind trying that role.
Somebody's got to do it, but is it something that you have passion about versus it? I'm not sure that it's your best use of skills.
I don't know, but sometimes we got to try something new that we haven't done. I'll try it.
Okay. And leadership, is that you, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, Larry, when we come down to it, if I was going to hold one person responsible for the failure of the 5-star model, who would I hold responsible?
Me.
The leader. Right?
Correct.
Okay, so that's a big part of that job, is to make sure this 5-star model happens and that each person on the team does their role and responsibility. So if Barry's going to do something he's a little uncomfortable doing, you got to do something that's a little uncomfortable doing, which is holding the team responsible. Every team needs an accountability coach. That doesn't mean they're the jerk on the team. It means that they are the servant leader helping each member of the team get better at what they're supposed to be doing. So you're supposed to be doing 12-4-2s with each member of the team.
I mean, I think it sounds to me like it's good to do something you're not comfortable with. Is that not true? Is that not a bad thought, Rob?
It's a great thing to do.
Because it probably forces you to improve your weakness, theoretically, right?
Well, I mean, look, Barry, you're good at that marketing. I mean, that's the thing that everybody raves about your ability.
I'm good at closing. Marketing, to me, is different than being a good closer. But I certainly have the most to gain from marketing because, I guess Ryan and I probably, and Larry has the biggest local network. So does Ryan, actually. You know? So I think I have the most to gain from doing stuff like that, for sure. And that since Tim and I are going to be working, and actually, you know, my biggest weakness, at least I'll eat my words for it, is we have so many ideas and we don't follow through with them. So
that's why you need the scoreboard meeting at the end of every Friday and not talk at all about investments ever. You talk about the 5 stars and you get off the call. Now, you need, as the marketing leader, you need to have a meeting on Monday. And the meeting on Monday is about what are we going to be each of us responsible for in terms of our marketing initiatives. Okay, and there's 7 different strategies to choose from. So everybody's got to pick their couple things they're going to work on and actually do. And then you report on Friday, how'd we do?
So what are we each responsible for in regards to the marketing in the seven things?
Okay. It's remember it was 96-4-2-2-1 plus VIPSA. So the 90-day free look for somebody that's on the fence. 6 centers of influence. 4 people in a mastermind group. 2 niches. 2 social charitable boards. 1 social networking through LinkedIn. By the way, I just heard about Zoom, the Zoom marketing thing. I didn't write it down, but it's kind of interesting. Anybody heard of that? Zoom marketing or Zoom, the service from Zoom where you can pretty much pick out any company. They'll give you all the names and addresses and email lists of everybody in the company. Sounded pretty good to me.
But
Tim, you know anything about that?
Negative. Haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it sounded pretty cool. And they gave them a 90 day or 60 day or something free trial, and then that expired. And I'm like, why would you let it expire? Why wouldn't you sign up for it? Sounded like a pretty good deal to me. Anyway, that's so 964221, the one social media, and then VIPSA, which is use of, you know, asking for and getting introductions from your existing clients. So read, Barry, go and read the Supernova multiplier. And I cover those 7 strategies in detail in that. Get it in audio and listen to it and read it.
Okay.
It will tell you exactly what to do. You'll be very smart.
It's page 23 and 24 of the Supernova Multiplier.
Okay, I wrote it down. What are we each responsible for in regards to 964221?
No. You're responsible for holding us accountable to do some of those things.
No, I was reading what he just said, Ryan.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He said that, right? Isn't that what you said?
That you're responsible for holding the team accountable to their marketing. Your marketing initiatives, because you're part of the team, and their marketing initiatives that they choose to do in that Monday meeting.
Okay.
So you meet on Monday and say, okay, guys, you said last week you were going to do this. How did you do? Okay. It can be a great experience. It should be a brainstorming session where you talk about niches and networking opportunities and mastermind groups, and you grow and you get good. And then on Friday, you report in on how we're doing. All Our right. pipeline is full. We have a beautiful pipeline. And this is what we got. We got 30 million coming in. And then Larry says, okay, this is how much we've got in. So far, we're net 30 million plus, and we're up 40% on our revenues. And everybody's doing their jobs.
If you want to send me your spreadsheet on assets that have come in this year, that would be great. I can use that and then just update it as well.
And you're not talking about investments unless you're on the investment committee.
Yeah.
That's a separate meeting. And I don't care when you have that.
Understood.
Okay. So nobody's talking about investments except in the investment committee. Because that's your hobby.
gathering assets is our business.
This is our business, right? This is business. Okay. That's all it's going to take, guys. That's all. I mean, it sounds like it's a lot. It's not. I mean, the key is that you guys aren't, you guys don't have your lines in the water. And you can't catch fish unless your lines are in the water. You're all sitting in the boat with your rods all in the boat. Nobody's got a line in the water. And it honestly, does it matter which you do? Not really. They all work and nothing works. They're all great and they all suck. You know,
we just need to keep doing them.
You got to keep doing them. You got to keep your line in the water. I had a team today from Pennsylvania. We're just talking about Dick Green, the old Dick Green from Merrill Lynch days. He said, everything works and nothing works. He was right. And they just do webinars every month. They do a webinar. And sometimes they're great, and sometimes they don't get a lot of people, but they're always doing them, and therefore they're always bringing in clients. And before that, they were always doing seminars. I don't think you guys need to do seminars, but you got to be doing something.
Sure. Yeah, I did a Zoom call with two centers of influence to put them together, and it was a good call. There might be some synergies. One of them actually might be helping the other one build out an online presence for their company with a website and branding and logos and all that stuff. So that might be something beneficial. But yeah, I'm trying to get more active. That's why I was hitting LinkedIn and reaching out to some of those people, like the guy I just talked to before this call, to try to get out in traffic a little bit more, because nobody's walking in my house right now.
No. And it's a wonderful time, guys. This is the greatest time ever in the stock market's history. And yeah, we're getting a little high, getting a little rich, but we're also in the middle of a massive revolution. And the technology revolution, it's exploding. I mean, what they're doing at the research on this COVID thing is going to apply all over the place. So every time there's any kind of COVID experience, we're going to have a vaccine for it that's not going to be a piece of garbage like we've had in the past. And I'm not saying a COVID-19 that kills a lot of people. I'm just saying the normal flu that comes around, a couple flus that come floating through every year. I mean, to me, we're making more breakthroughs in everything than we've ever seen. More innovation, more new companies, more excitement. Get excited, stay excited, and don't let anybody give you any bullshit about it being, oh my God, this is, you know, that stuff about Oregon locking down and all that stuff. Forget about it. They're idiots. Okay? We haven't even... Think about it. We need 65% of our population having either gotten the disease or having a vaccine before we get herd immunity. We don't need 100%. But what would we had? 5% that got it so far? We got a lot of
left. Something like
two,
that.
Two or something.
So, I mean, and they're panicking because we got 2% of the population that gets a disease. Are you nuts? What are you talking about? We're going to get 30% of the people getting the disease. And then we'll get another 60% with a vaccine. So let them get the freaking disease. I mean, most of them go through it fine. It's just a panic. It's stupid. Keep your elderly safe. Don't have it be go through these nursing homes. But everybody get out there and do business. They're going to lock down. They're going to kill themselves. People are going to go nuts. People are not going to lock down. They will just refuse it now. You try and lock down Florida, they'll kill you. They will kill you. And I'm one of those guys with pre-existing conditions, so I got to really be careful, okay? But the average person at 30 or 40 years old, get it, get the vaccine, get over it. And because this economy wants to go, man, it really wants to go.
Yeah, it's been very resilient.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We've never seen anything like this, guys. Nothing, not even close. We've never seen anything like this ever. And it's, I mean, it's just crazy. And yeah, one day it exploded and then it sold off and but and now another one exploded and then we'll get another one, it'll explode, another one will explode. It, you know, eventually we'll get it out there. But I mean, this market wants to go up. I mean, it doesn't sell off that much. So don't get sucked into the, you know, the bear case. I think it's bullshit, but that's, we weren't going to talk about the market, right? But I don't want to, I think that when you get too clever, you waste a lot of time. Just go out there and get excited and help people to invest their money and asset allocate and move on. Bring in more money. Bring in more money. Get excited. Tell a good story. They want to hear a good story. Tell a good story. Tell them a good story. Nobody wants to hear a bad story. If you want to raise cash, good. Raise 20% cash. But keep 80% invested, right? Don't be half in the game. Anyway. So stay with the structure. Okay, you need structure. You guys are like, frankly, you're like a couple of second graders. You need structure, like kids need structure. You need structure. Give yourself structure and you'll do great. And accountability, be each other's accountability coaches. Larry, it's up to you. You up to it?
I'll stay on it a little more.
Definitely. A little more? Come on, get fired up. I've never seen an NFL coach act like that.
No, I'll stay on it.
Get on it, stay on it, and help these guys. Support them. Encourage them. Do your part. All right?
Roger that.
Be your best selves. You're good. You're doing great. Just try. Just do something with structure and you'll be awesome. You'll get that 100 million we've been talking about without having to buy books. All right. That's enough. I'll see you guys. Stay
back
well.
In a couple of weeks.